Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here today. We are excited for the service we have for you. I can't start without saying, first of all, happy Mother's Day to my mother over there. Love you. I just can't thank you enough for the godly influence that you have been on me throughout my life, and thank you so much. I love you. Happy Mother's Day. And then also to my wife, Ashley, the mother of our son, Parker. Happy Mother's Day to you. You do such a great job raising him with me, and I'm so glad to do life together with you. So happy Mother's Day to you as well. And a reminder to all the mothers that all the women in the church, as you leave this morning, please grab a Buntini. I recommend shoving it in your mouth quickly before you go pick up your kids. That way you don't have to share it with them. We've seen that struggle at the table in years past. So whatever method you use, we support you today in making sure that Buntini is yours. Well, this morning, we have the privilege, and I'm excited for the format that we have, that all three of us are going to be sharing. We'll share some stories about our moms. I'm sure that'll be fun. We'll be talking this morning about godly influencers and how all of us in this room are called to be godly influencers. And as all three of us were preparing to talk, we couldn't help but, as we're preparing, just talking about our moms, how all three of us had moms who were such godly influences on us. And what a blessing that is to each one of us in our lives. Obviously, our fathers are important and have played a significant role as well. But there's just something special about how important a mother's godly influence can be in her children. All three of us are so blessed. All three of our mothers growing up, I am 100% sure that they prayed for their children every single day. And I'm also confident that they still do, even today, as we're all grown up and in the ministry. And being a godly influence is one of the best legacies that a mother can pass down to her children. So for that, all three of us are grateful as well. So we're talking this morning about godly influences, but unfortunately, I can recall a story of my brothers and I where we did not heed not only the godly influence, just the influence of my mother, or my father for that matter. So to set the stage, Ashley and I, my wife, we were dating at the time, and it must have been getting pretty serious because we decided it would be appropriate. My parents had never met Ashley's mom and stepdad, and we thought it would be a great time to have them over for dinner so they could get to know each other. And so they had never met before. They show up to my parents' house, and my older brother Dan and my younger brother Brian, many of you know them as we've grown up here in the church, they came to me and said, you know, I think we want to play this prank during dinner, but they wanted to get my blessing first. And I should have heeded the godly influence of my mother and said, I don't think that's a good idea. But of course, I went along with them. So what they had done is my older brother Dan had purchased or acquired some way, I guess I will call it an electronic whoopee cushion, basically, that was controlled by a remote. And they had this plan that they would put this electronic noise maker that mimics some bodily functions underneath my younger brother Brian's chair during dinner. But Dan, my older brother, would have the remote. And so Brian would not know when this thing was going to go off. But he was going to play the part and act like it was a surprise to him. It really was a surprise. And so we're sitting down at dinner. Conversation's going great. My parents are meeting Ashley's parents. And that's when the first time that my brother pushed the button on the remote. And so Brian, many of you know Brian and know that he is going to ham up that situation. And so he acted surprised and held his stomach and said, oh, I'm so, he apologized profusely for the noise that came from underneath his chair. He apologized, and so we just chalked it up to, you know, a mistake, and we kind of moved on with dinner. So conversation continues. A couple minutes later, we're talking, and it happens again. And at this time, you can see my mother's face where she just starts to, I don't know what the right word is, irritated, frustrated, disgusted, horrified. Any of these words may be the appropriate word, disappointed. Any of these may be the appropriate word. And so she starts to stare daggers at my younger brother, who apologizes. And my mother says, do you need to leave the room, Brian? That is not appropriate. I've raised you better than this. And now my future mother-in-law, she's sitting there, and I could see the the empathy in her eyes, looking at my mother, like, I know you raised him better than this. You could see them just having this mother-to-mother connection, like, this should not be happening right now. And so Brian apologizes, and we move forward a couple more minutes, and it happens again. At this point, Brian, acting very well, decides to excuse himself from the table and just to play into the drama that's unfolded. And my mother and my future mother-in-law just have this conversation, comforting each other during this grieving period of how their sons have turned out. And so finally, Brian rejoins us at the table. And a few minutes later, one last time, it happens. And for fear for my younger brother's life, we decided it's probably time to let them in on the prank of what had happened and how Dan had been controlling it. And it was just a noisemaker. And all of us had a wonderful laugh. It was hilarious. Everyone except for one person, my mother. And she will tell you to this day, she has, number one, not laughed about it. And number two, she does not find it funny in the slightest. She is still horrified by the experience that we would do this to her and pull a prank. And so I just think that of the influence that my parents have had, number one, on table manners and things like that, that we knew we were not supposed to do that, but we had some fun anyways. But we should have heeded the influence of my mother. And in all seriousness, though, I am so grateful for my mother and the influence that she has been on me throughout my life in so many different areas, but especially spiritually. What I have learned from my parents, as they have been a godly influence, is greater than anything else that they could have taught me. And for parents, I think that's important for each one of us to pass on to our children, is to be a godly influence. So I'm going to start by talking about what a godly influencer is, and then Matt is going to come and talk for a minute, and Christian as well. And so, thinking of a godly influence, I'm reminded of Scripture and one person in particular, how a mother had an influence on that person. And so if you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1 with me. Here in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing in one of his pastoral epistles to a young man named Timothy to encourage him in his faith. And he reminds him of the influence that both his mother and his grandmother had on him. So let's read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. So here we can see that Paul is talking to Timothy, recognizing the sincere faith that he had and how it was passed down from his grandmother Lois to his mother Eunice, then on to Timothy. And what a legacy that was passed down. And so when we're talking about godly influencers and what is a godly influencer, I think the first thing that comes to mind from this passage is that you have to be a person of sincere faith. And I think that as parents, I think our kids watch us. They see us in times of struggling, maybe financially. They see us in times of grief or heartache. They see us times when we lose a job. They see us all the time. They see us how we react. And do we get down on our knees and pray and have faith that God is going to come through in a situation? Or do we worry? Do we get anxious? Many of times, what we do in circumstances in our life, our kids are going to mimic as they get older. So what kind of godly influence are we going to be on our children? When God speaks to us, do we jump into his plan wholeheartedly, or do we doubt? Do we struggle? Do we argue with God constantly? And I am so grateful that I had a mother who modeled sincere faith for me like Timothy's mother did. That when God had spoken to her, she had faith that it would come about regardless of what it looked like in the physical world, what she could see or not. And I'm reminded of a time when she was going to go on a missions trip here at Radiant Life Church to Romania. And in fact, at that time in our lives, as we were growing up, our budget was very tight. And my mom had said that she's not even going to pray to go on this trip because we just didn't have the finances to go on a missions trip, so she didn't even pray about it. And how many of you know those are the times that the Holy Spirit often will say, nope, this is when I want you to go, to stretch your faith, to show your sincere faith. And so my mom felt that she was supposed to go on this missions trip to Romania. Some of you may have gone on that trip as well. But as I said, she didn't have money for this missions trip. At this time, my brothers and I were in a Christian school. My mom worked part-time during the lunch hour as a waitress at the Ponderosa Steakhouse right next door to the school so she could be near us and to help put us in a Christian education environment. And so she would work during the lunch shift, and she would get a few tips that day during the lunch, and she would come home each day after each shift and put $2 or $3 in the envelope that would go towards a missions trip. And how many of you know that it's going to take a long time to pay for a missions trip that way? But she was faithful, knowing that God had told her she was going to go on this missions trip, that he would provide for her. She modeled this sincere faith for us. And one day, every week, she would take the money that had accumulated in this envelope by her nightstand, and she would take it to the bank and deposit it. And so she had just done that the end of the previous week, and so it was probably like a Monday or Tuesday. She went to put her money into the envelope, expecting there to be maybe $4 in the envelope. And she opened up the envelope, and it was full of cash. Full of cash that she could deposit in the bank to go towards her missions trip. And so, faithfully still, every single day, she would go, come home from work, and put $2 or $3 from her tips to go towards her missions trip. Another couple weeks passed, and she opened up the envelope again one day, and again, it was full of money. This happened a few times, and she finally went to my dad and said, are you putting money in here? Where is this money coming from? And my dad didn't even know that the envelope even existed. And certainly us boys didn't know or have money to put in there. So God multiplied the money that she had to where she was able to pay for her missions trip. She modeled sincere faith that in that time of her life. And I'm so grateful that she was a woman of sincere faith. I think, as I said, the first step of being a godly influencer is being a person of sincere faith and then being able to teach that to your children. And I think because of that and many other times that she's shown sincere faith, I can talk about the times that I have stepped out in faith and my wife and I have stepped out in faith. And I think it's because of the example that my mother gave to us that we're able to do that. Many of you may have a mother that modeled sincere faith for you as well. So the first aspect of being a godly influencer is that you need to have sincere faith. Secondly, a godly influencer will place a high importance on God's word and in teaching it to those around them. Let's look further here into 2 Timothy at chapter 3, verse 14. It says, but as for you, Paul's talking to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Here in this passage we see that Timothy's mother and grandmother had instilled in him a love for scripture. And since his childhood, Paul says, since his childhood, he had been taught about the scripture and learned them. And we know from Acts chapter 16, verse 1, when he's on his missionary journey, when he comes to Lystra, which is the city where Timothy resides, it says specifically that Paul ministered to Lois and to Eunice, Paul's mother and grandmother. But it says that Timothy's father was a Greek, and the clear implication is that Timothy's father was not a believer, because it talks about his mom being a believer, but his father was Greek. And so, despite the fact that he didn't have a godly father figure, his mother was enabled to instill in him a love for scripture and taught it to him since childhood, and he learned it. And I'm so grateful for a mother that has also modeled this love for scripture. And I already mentioned that she worked as a waitress so my brothers and I could go to a Christian education where every single day we would hear about God's word in our environment. But then I think on top of that, I think of programs that we have even here at Radiant Life Church, like Junior Bible Quiz, and how during that students hide God's word in their heart. And to this day, most of the scripture that I have memorized, I remember from when I was in third grade and fourth grade, and the scripture that I memorized in Junior Bible Quiz. But my parents have a love for students hiding God's word in their heart, to where even this day, even probably 20 years after my younger brother had graduated out of the junior Bible quiz program, they still to this day go to the meets and officiate at the junior Bible quiz meets and help in that program because they value the importance of hiding God's word in your heart. If you want to be a godly influence, you need to grow in your love for God's word and to spend more time in it. That's how I would challenge you today, is increase your faith and let your children, let those around you that you're influencing see your faith, and then let them see your love for God's word and grow in it. And before I conclude my portion, I think that it's important to note on a day like Mother's Day that not everyone views Mother's Day as a happy time. Many of us do because I have a great mother who is a godly influence on me. But, you know, for many people, Mother's Day can be difficult. And my wife and I, we've had our own infertility issues. And I remember some years back before we had Parker that Mother's Day was a difficult day for my wife and I, just because she wasn't the mother that she wanted to be. And there's other people who maybe this day is difficult for you as well. Maybe you've had a miscarriage or the death of a child even. Maybe you had a strained relationship with your mother, or your mother was absent, and that's brings back difficult memories on a day like today. Others of you, maybe you have guilt from giving up a child for adoption, or maybe even an abortion. And maybe others of you, your mothers, but your child is not in right standing with God today, and that causes pain on a day like today. Well, before we move on, I just want to pray for those women that you may, or people that you may fall into this category. So if you'll, everyone just bow your heads with me right now. God, I just thank you so much for the women in this room, and I thank you for those that I mentioned that maybe this day is not as easy as it is for other people as we celebrate mothers. I pray for them, God, that you will give them peace, that you will comfort them, that your love will pour out over them, and that they will know that you have a plan for them and a purpose through everything that they've gone through in life. And God, I just pray a blessing upon all of our mothers today, that you will bless each and every one of them, and on our mothers and everyone else in this room, that each one of us will be better godly influencers. Let us be godly influencers who are people of sincere faith, who are people who value your word and what you have said. Let us be people who then model that for others so that they can grow in their faith as well. And so I thank you for everyone here, God, and I just challenge them to be godly influencers today. And we pray these things in your Son, Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Let's give it up for Pastor Joe. That was a great word. It's an incredible story that I don't think that I can... surpass that great story. It's a bar that is raised high. But good morning. It's an honor to talk to you on Mother's Day. And it's so ironic, it's not lost on our part, that three guys are up here talking on Mother's Day. We know literally nothing about what it means to be a mother. But we all speak from people that know what it's like to have somebody, a mother that influences them and impacts them. And a godly mother is a godly influencer. And my mom is not here with me right now, but just in case she's watching, I want to make sure I say, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you, and please turn this off now as I continue to talk. All right. my mom, she was super mom growing up. She raised three boys, all of us about 3 years apart, and I'm the middle child. Is there any middle children in the room? Raise your hand. Let's have a therapy session later, talk through some problems we had growing up. But no. I was blessed by a mom who wore many hats. You know, if you're a mom, the title mom means that you hold so many positions and responsibilities under that, right? My mom was, first of all, she was a soccer mom. Any soccer moms in the house? My mom would take us to every practice, every game. My dad coached some of our teams. And being three boys, we were slightly competitive throughout our life. All right, everything was a race. You know what I'm talking about? Like, let's see who can get to the car first. Let's see who can get to this first. Well, one time, one of us decided, let's see who could finish our meal first, you know, eat as fast as you possibly can. And I think that's why I have a bad habit of just eating fast in general now. I believe that's where that comes from. But when one of my brothers mentioned this suggestion, my mom, I remember the story, my mom, exasperated. She goes, boys, does everything have to be a competition for you? To which all three of us simultaneously, matter-of-factly, responded, yes. Like, how is that even a question? Of course everything has to be a competition. So my mom, she was a soccer mom. She was a stay-at-home mom. And so that meant that she was with us a lot, which meant there were a lot of opportunities for her to discipline us. She was the discipliner, not the discipliner, she was a discipliner in the house. My dad definitely took a lot of that responsibility, but she could hold her own. She could put the fear of God into us, amen. And one day we were being extra difficult to manage. You know, you're just having an extra bad day. And I remember we were in the car driving somewhere, and my mom asked a question. It's not a question you typically ask of your children. Very vulnerable question. A question of kind of asking feedback. She said, "Boys, am I ever short with you?" To which my brother responded, "You're always short with us, Mom." Because if you don't know, my mom is vertically challenged. So that's kind of the... And at that moment, I'm like panicked. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, how is Mom going to respond to this, you know? Is she going to freak out on us? Is this going to make her day even worse? Is this going to make our discipline and our timeouts longer and later and worse later? But she actually was able to shrug it off and laugh along with us. Thank God. Who in the family was the smart mouth one? You just always had that quicker. Go ahead and point them out if they're in the room, just for the sake of family. Just kidding. I was honestly that person a lot. I was honestly that person a lot of times. I don't know why we use the term smarting off, because it's the complete opposite of that. It's the dumbest thing, the foolish thing you can possibly do in that instance, right? There typically a smart response or a swift response would be brought back with a swift paddle or a swift belt if it was in our family, for my dad, if you know what I'm saying. So my mom, she was a soccer mom, she was a stay-at-home mom, and she was also a homeschool mom. Okay, she homeschooled all three of us, meaning she was a first grade, fourth grade, seventh grade teacher all at the same time, and all the headaches and the hassle that goes along with it. And my brothers were both very successful in their homeschooling, and I'm here with you. You're stuck with me. So that's how that went. But also my mom, listen, a lot of people say that their moms are the best cook, you know, that they make amazing food, and I'm sure they are, but my mom really is the best cook. Like, I'm not just saying that because she's watching this. She seriously could make anything. She was the type of person that made the homemade cookies that at the church potluck would be gone before the word grace was even said, okay? And we grew up in Youngstown, Ohio, which has a very large Ohio Italian population. And she's not Italian, but she could make food. She could make Italian food like she was. I mean, there were times where she made homemade pasta, homemade noodles, the whole thing. If you've ever done that before, you know how much time, how much effort. That is a lot of work, okay? And she did it for a couple weeks, maybe months, and then she decided, I'm not doing this anymore. Not because it wasn't good. It was amazing. It was so good. But literally between me, my two brothers, and my dad, it was all gone in 15 minutes. So at some point, she had to realize, okay, this is not worth the time and effort it takes, but she could make anything she wanted, and it tasted amazing. My mom, she was super mom. She could do anything. She even cut my hair for a while. She hated to do it, but she did for a while. That's back when I had my Bieber fever haircut. And you laugh, but that got me a wife. So you're welcome, Shanna, wherever you're at. It worked. I don't know what to tell you. It worked. But my mom, she's the best mom. And moms, you have such a tough job. A lot of times you have a thankless job, a sacrificial job, a job that we don't see everything that you do day in, day out, minute to minute. And, you know, we may not see the times in the morning or the night that you're praying for your family. You're praying for your household. I remember many times where I'd come into my parents' room in the morning and my mom was there sitting at the floor of her bed with her devotional Bible, starting out the day, praying for the strength that she would need to homeschool three boys, I'm sure is what she was doing. And my mom, she's a godly woman. She's a woman of virtue. And I want you to know that a godly mom is a godly influencer. And for a minute, we're going to look at the story in Luke chapter 1 of Elizabeth. You can turn your Bibles there. We'll have it on the screen. I'm going to paraphrase some of it, and then some of it we're going to look into the word. But Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, they've been trying to have children together for many years. And it says in verse 6, it says they were both lovers of God, living virtuously and following the commandments of the Lord fully. But they were childless since Elizabeth was barren, and now they both were quite old. And so Luke, if you didn't know, he's making sure we understand the character of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Typically in the Bible, barrenness was considered a product of sin. It meant you were being judged. But Luke makes it very clear here that both Zechariah and Elizabeth, they are godly people. They are people of virtue, of integrity. It says that they are lovers of God. They keep his commandments. And so when we move on in the story, and I'll paraphrase some of it here, but the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah. And he tells him that they're going to give birth to a son. And sure enough, soon afterward, Elizabeth became pregnant. And it says in verse 25, it says, Elizabeth said with joy, "See how kind it is of God to gaze upon me and take away the disgrace of my barrenness." You know, God sees you in the middle of your problems, in the midst of your struggle. God is kind. His gaze is on you. He is with you, and he is for you. And Elizabeth, it says she continued on in her pregnancy for 6 months. And during that time, the angel Gabriel was sent to Mary. And Mary finds out that she's going to give birth to Jesus, right? We know the story. So Elizabeth is the aunt of Mary. And it says in verse 36, it says, "What's more," this is Gabriel talking to Mary. It says, "What's more, your aged aunt, and I wouldn't have used the word aged, right? Because typically, we're taught to not ask women about their age, right? That's considered impolite. But the Bible doesn't look at that way. It looks at it, the age is parallel to wisdom. As somebody in their older years, it shows the wisdom that they have, that we as a church need to look to the wisdom of our elderly and seek that out. And so Gabriel goes on to say, Gabriel went on to say, "Elizabeth has become pregnant with a son, and the barren one is now in her 6th month. And before I move on to the next scripture, I want to make sure you're awake for this. As I know it's Mother's Day, and we're trying to give you a pretty message, but I want to preach for a second. Is that okay? Is anybody okay if I preach for a second? One person? Pastor Christian's ready. In fact, nudge your neighbor. Say, "Neighbor, listen up. Wake up. You're going to want to hear this." Because it says in verse 37, it says, "Not one promise from God is empty of power." It says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Did you guys hear that? I'm going to repeat it one more time. It says, "Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Can somebody give praise to God for that? Come on, you need to know that there's nothing impossible for your God. Every promise that God has given you, it holds his power. It holds his might. And if you're going through something, anything, and you feel like you're not going to make it, remember that God has promised. What God has promised you holds his power. If your son or daughter is far from God with just how their life decisions are going, guess what? God says that what he has started in you, what he has started with your sons and daughters, he will bring it to completion. If you're a new mom or you have an infant at home and you're losing sleep at night, you're feeling less energetic than you did before kids, the Bible says that you can rest under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. And it's just a season. It's not going to be like that for long. And if you're a mom of teenagers, God bless your sweet angelic heart. Because I'm sure if you hear, "I know, Mom," for the 1,000th time, and you just want to shake your teenager, God says he's going to give you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And you're going to need all three of those things in order to raise your teenager. God has given you everything that you need. And every promise that he holds, it's drenched in his power to make it happen. It says in verse 39 after that, it says, "Afterward, Mary arose and hurried off to the hill country of Judea, to the village where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. And arriving at their home, Mary entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And at that moment, she heard Mary's voice. The baby within Elizabeth's womb jumped and kicked. And suddenly, Elizabeth was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And with a loud voice, she prophesied with power, 'Mary, you are a woman given the highest favor and privilege above all others. For your child is destined to bring God great delight. How did I deserve such a remarkable honor to have the mother of my Lord come and visit me? The moment that you came in the door and greeted me, my baby danced inside me with ecstatic joy. Great favor is upon you, for you have believed every word spoken to you from the Lord. Listen, ladies, you need a friend like Elizabeth in your life. Someone that's going to support you, that's going to come alongside you and strengthen you. I love how there's just this bond that forms between Elizabeth and Mary. They're in slightly different situations, but both are facing the unknown. Both are experiencing, they're in the middle of a miracle from God, and they were encouraging each other in the new adventure they were facing. The Bible says that they actually spent the next 3 months together leading up to Elizabeth's delivery of John the Baptist. And I just want to encourage you as I close here, that women, you need each other. You have to support each other. There's no one that knows what you're going through in life like another mom knows what you're going through in life. You know, we can do our best, and my mom, even earlier today, she sent me a text saying, "I'm praying for you today before you start." I want to urge you that a godly woman is a godly influencer, and godly influencers lift up one another. When my mom was beginning to, was starting the family with my dad, and they were early on, I think they just had my older brother at that time, they knew another family. Actually, they met here, the Manhans, if anybody knows who they are, but they were further along with three kids and homeschooling. All these things that my mom wanted to do, she just looked up to her as a mom. And so anytime my mom had questions, she would go to her. She would ask her questions to her. And woman, I encourage you to look for people that can support you. Look for people that have gone before you, that can give you the advice that you need. And look for people that are coming up behind you, that are going to need the advice, that are going to have the same struggles that you yourself went through. Lift up each other. And I hope that's encouraged you. We put Pastor Christian in the third spot, because he's got that home run, that slugging percentage that's just so high. He's going to bring us home. So I need you to give it up for Pastor Christian as he comes and finishes this word today.
Thank you very much. Man, I was thinking about, you know, moms and cooking and all, like, your mom was a great cook. And clearly mine was, because I turned out a little bigger than you. But, oh, man. When I was a kid, okay, just growing up, my mom was a superhero. Any moms in here superheroes? Anyone? No? No? Okay. Well, my mom was. Okay, she was a superhero. My dad, he would always, we would wrestle. We liked to wrestle, and he would just come in my room, and I'm playing video games, and he would just beat me to the ground, like, oh my goodness. Well, I would holler for my mom, like, "Mom, help! Help!" And she would. She'd come. She'd save the day. "Daryl, stop." And he didn't. But anyway, I hurt my knee one time and whatever, and I had knee surgery. So I made that an excuse, and he would tackle me. "Oh, my knee. Oh, Daryl, do not hurt his knee. We pay," or whatever, you know. But anyway, there was this one time, and I can do this because I'm a youth pastor, okay? But I was going to the bathroom, okay? So I'm going to the bathroom, flipping through my guitar magazine, whatever, and I hear this, like, chuckling around the corner. Like, what's going on? And here's my dad over here. He's like, and he gets my airsoft gun, and he's like, choo-choo-choo-choo, and he's shooting me, and I can't do anything. Like, I'm sitting here like, "No, Mom, Mom, ow, ow." You know, I'm getting shot, but Mom was mad. She came to the rescue. Oh, man. It all comes down to influence. That's not influence, but all this, I just had to tell a funny story about, but all this message, it comes down to influence. And there's power in influence. Can someone say power? Power. I found this definition. The power, influence is the power of persons or things to be a compelling force on or produce effects on the actions, behavior, opinions, blah, 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 of others. There is power and influence. There's power and influence. And I got to just recap a little bit, because Pastor Joe, what he was talking about with Paul writing to Timothy, and Paul is like, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Wow, there is power and influence. Godly influence can be passed down from generation to generation. Someone say amen. You're all a little too quiet for me this morning. Hey, but who knows that ungodly influence can be passed down from generation to generation. I got this illustration, okay? I need you guys. Can you help me? This is just a, yeah. Okay, grab your stools. Just put them right next to each other. Thank you so much. I got to move this. Awesome. Yeah. So listen, these stools, this stool right here, this represents Pastor Joe's mom and dad. They're going to church. They're living for the Lord. They're living for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in their household. And they take that stool and they give it to Joe. And Joe, he's living his life. And because of that influence, he's affected. He's affected by it. And now he's living a godly life. And he's going to church. He's getting into his word. He's having a personal relationship with Jesus because he was affected. Now, Pastor Joe, if you could stand up, he takes his stool and he gives it to Junior. Parker. Yeah. He gives it to Parker. But and Parker, he's living his life. Do you get the picture? Your influence is going to affect generations to come. And every morning, my mom, she would make me and my sister some breakfast, and we would have just a little devotion time, right? And who remembers, or you might even have one, just like the little daily bread, like it was like a little bread thing, and it had verses in it. Does anyone know? Yeah, yeah. Well, we would do that every morning. We would do that, and me and my sister, we'd pick out a verse from the daily bread, and we'd read it. And man, to this day, those scriptures, they just ring in my heart. And when I was a kid, I was bored, right? I was bored, and I was weird. Okay, I would just like walk around, and I would always go and open the fridge. Okay, open the fridge. Oh, nothing to eat. Okay, and then I'd go to the pantry. Oh, nope, no Cheetos. Okay, so and I would be bored making my way, and then I'd make my way into my parents' bedroom, and there would be my mom sitting in bed with her Bible out, just having a quiet time with God alone. This influenced me. I got to see my mom in those quiet times, just her and God. And man, that impacted my life so much. Now I see that, and I was affected by that, and now I can do that. And one day when I have children, you know, and they can see me, and you know, whew. Listen, in order to be a godly influence, we might need to change what we're influenced by, right? I couldn't control what my mom was influenced by. But what she was influenced by was affecting me because I was watching her. It can go good or bad, right? Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9 says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Are you loving the Lord your God with all your heart? Are you repeating it again and again to your children? Are these commands in your home? Do they go throughout your day? We just got to think about that, you know? Listen, I'm closing now. Can you just bow your heads? Close your eyes. Listen, it's Mother's Day, but I, You know, this it's so important that we just respond. And if there's anyone here that would say, Jesus really he isn't in my heart, or maybe you just need a refreshing and you need to ask him into your heart again, you need a renewal. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? Anyone? Last call. Hey, that's all good. Cool. Awesome. Well, can you just stand up with me this morning? Everyone just stand up. And I just want to pray a blessing over you. Is that okay? A blessing over everyone. So if you could, right now, just like hold your hands out like you're receiving something. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm just going to pray over you. Father God, I pray a blessing over your people. Lord, fill their hearts with your love. Let your love just pour into their hearts and their souls, and let you be their strength, God. Let them be godly influences. Godly influences. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We wanted to, on this Mother's Day, get you out a little bit early so you can spend time with your mothers. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and to the women of the church. Don't forget to grab your buntini on the way out the door. If you don't remember, I'm sure your kids will remind you. But since Pastor Dave's not here, we wanted to close with one last thing.
Be careful what you watch.
Be careful what you listen to.
Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.